When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Spotify is a private company,
right?
And they can do anything they want within the law.
Absolutely.
And if they want to remove those episodes of Joe Rogan's podcast, they can do that. And that is not censorship.
Right.
You know, just like a restaurant can fire a cook, you know, who is spitting in the food, you know, they have, if they feel that it's going to hurt the company. I'm just citing the Joe Rogan example, but I'm sure they've removed podcasts in the past for various other reasons that they disagreed with. But this is not like people were calling Neil Young saying he's trying to cancel Rogan. He's trying to censor Rogan. It's like,
no,
first of all, he wasn't trying to do that. But at the same time, Spotify can do that. And to the Neil Young fans who were like, oh, they chose and they got rid of Neil. No, Neil stepped away. And he says that on the archives in a couple of articles, like it was his decision to leave.
Yeah. He didn't want to be there. That's what
he gave them a choice. He said, listen, I can't be here if he's going to be here. And they said, well, we're going to go with Joe. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to leave.
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk out of our ass while going through the works of Mr. Young. It's Mike Hsu and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and listen to each one. It's Long May You Young.
What's up, you guys?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Mike?
I'm glad you guys could do this. I think it's important that we put out a bonus episode as quickly as possible, since we're one of only two Neil Young podcasts on the planet, us and Joel with Don't Be Denied. I'm sure he'll be talking about this in French. And I'm not dissing him by saying that. I'm just saying that's, you know, it's in French. We know Joel a little bit, and he's a pretty huge Neil dude. So, this has become huge news. And, I think we should just address this immediately. So earlier today, Tom Brady officially retired from his football career.
Fuck you.
Your thoughts on this? First of all, there was, you know, over the weekend, the whole drama, or as Patriots fans would say, all the fucking drama that was going on with a leaked announcement or whatnot. There was also a thing where if he held off until next weekend, he'd make a bonus $20 million. I don't know. Your thoughts, where's Brady going next?
I see. Honestly, I think the whole thing is, I think he's moving to baseball. I think he's going to play for the Blue Jays.
Ah, that's a good one. Russ, what do you think? Where's Brady going next?
I think he's, you know, he's going back to the farm to join all the other goats, dude.
Welcome to Long May You Young, the one of two Neil Young podcasts we know of. This one and Don't Be Denied, our friend Joel Desmaras Racine, who we had on the last episode, runs that one. My name is Mike Hsu, and Luke and Russ Condon also host the show. They're from the Band Town Meeting, and this is our emergency Neil Young, Joe Rogan episode.
Yeah, that episode with Joel that you spoke of is a two-parter, and this episode is sandwiched right between them. So,
oh wow!
I'm very sorry that they feel that way. I most certainly don't want that. I'm a Neil Young fan. I've always been a Neil Young fan. I'll tell you a story at the end of this about that.
Have you heard the story about Neil Young after?
Yeah, Great Woods.
Yeah, Great Woods. Yeah, wasn't really involved Neil Young, but that was.
Yeah, and also his example of him liking Neil Young is the fact that he was singing
security guy. Rockin'
in the Free World, the one song he could probably conjure up in his mind.
He likes that song.
And then when he tries to reference Joni Mitchell, he completely fucks it up.
Oh yeah, it says a Ricky Lee Jones song.
Yeah.
Chucky's, oh my god.
So if you've been living under a rock, Neil Young put out a statement, an open letter to Spotify saying he doesn't like that Joe Rogan is spreading disinformation about vaccines and to Spotify, and it's either Joe Rogan or me. You can't have both. And Neil, never one to back down, put his money where his mouth is, and then a few days later pulled all his music off of Spotify. And then a few artists followed, and I mean, by the time of this release, who knows how many more, but at the time of this, Joni Mitchell, Nils Lofgren, I just saw India RE pulled her music off of Spotify.
For those who don't know, Nils has been a guest on this podcast. He was amazing. We loved him.
Mm-hmm. Right, go listen to that episode.
Don't forget Barry Manilow also removed his music.
Did he really?
Did he?
I think he did, yeah. Didn't I see that somewhere, that Barry Manilow?
Hmm.
I don't know, but I will
took
say
his music off Spotify.
Nails did not. Nails Nails stands with Joe.
Yeah, Nails has Nails. Let's not get into that type of shit on this. I was about to go launch into a whole bit about
him
having experimental nail sounds.
Someone on Twitter asked, what did Nails think of all this thing? And I said, well, Nails already removed his podcast, his own Neil Young podcast, To Nails Tonight, off the platform. And you should listen to him on the platform he's starting up.
So. I did talk to Nails. If you don't know who Nails is, Nails Lofgren is the guy we accidentally called when we were trying to interview Nils Lofgren. And he's obsessed with
supposed
Nails.
Half brother, right? Yes. Or something like that. Yeah.
He's become a staple on the podcast, but I did talk to Nails and he said he's starting his own podcast similar to Long May You Young, where he just meticulously goes through every Joe Rogan episode.
Oh my God.
Jesus. He'll be at it a lot longer than we will.
Oh my God.
Every episode's 5 hours long, then.
Like nails on a chalkboard.
Nice, nice.
See what I did there.
But we did talk about this briefly on Breaking the Ice, but I feel like we were kind of caught off guard and we just wanted to talk. And Josh, and we love Breaking the Ice. It's Mike's other podcast. They're great. But I think we were all kind of caught, like it was day of, and we were like, let's just.
Right.
It felt like a little bit of a mess, a little bit sloppy, because I think we all weren't really articulate enough. But I think this is a good chance to kind of get our thoughts out. So
we're also selfishly doing this because now you have Joe Rogan in the news, and Joe Rogan is known for what? A podcast. And you have Neil Young in the news. So now the things that are trending are Neil Young, and affiliated with that is something that's has to do with a podcast.
Yeah.
So now we're getting in on that Neil Young podcast area.
Did I see we were at 50?
We were at 50 on, it was this. So this was for Apple Music Podcasts.
Okay.
We were number 50 for music commentary. In the music commentary category.
Wow. So, holy shit.
Yeah.
And so for the people that are listening to this now because of all this news, they get to hear us talk about ridiculous Tom Brady shit at the top of
joke. Can you imagine someone like Neil Young podcast and like finding us, like, all right, I'll check it out, and it's just Storytone Part 1.
Oh my God.
It's like, what the fuck is
this? Yeah, that'd be the latest. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, I think I think Joe Rogan touched on this in his video, and you're right, Russ. It wasn't really an apology. He felt sorry that people got really upset over this whole thing, but he didn't apologize for anything he did on his podcast. And I don't think he should. He was just doing what Joe Rogan does. I think a lot of the people criticizing Joe Rogan and also criticizing Neil Young are just not informed enough. There were some people getting into it on the Long May You Young Twitter, because I had retweeted some of the stories from the New York Post and stuff. And so some pro Joe Rogan people got on there and some pro Neil Young people got on there, and they were going back and forth. And it turns out like a lot of the pro Neil Young people didn't even listen to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Right.
And the one guy who kind of took Joe Rogan's side listens to our podcast and likes Neil Young. So, you know, I think a lot of people don't know, and I'm glad Joe Rogan put out that video explaining that, you know, doesn't necessarily support a point of view. He supports bringing out many points of view. And that's why he had these two doctors on. From what I understand, and from what I've read, these doctors weren't like Alex Jones type guys. These were like legitimate doctors. One was the most published doctor in his field, which I think was cardiovascular disease. You know, and the other one had patents on vaccines. So these guys knew what they were talking about. They just didn't go with the narrative. And then he also brought up the fact that he has in the past had people on that go along with what the mainstream narrative is on COVID and vaccines, like Sanjay Gupta. And he had a someone from Biden's COVID-19 committee on, you know, delivering their message. He said that he's going to work harder on the timing. So if he has someone on that doesn't agree with what the mainstream narrative is, he's going to try to have someone on right afterwards that kind of has the opposite view. And that way it'll seem like it's more balanced, because you know how his podcasts go. He just kind of has people on that he's interested in, has a conversation with them, which is what he also said in his video.
Yeah, but at the same time, and I think the video, it did a good job at kind of explaining a lot of that shit, sure. But I also think a lot of it is him kind of trying to save face, and him saying that he doesn't try to be controversial, he just tries to have a conversation. I think that's kind of bullshit. I think he does like to be, I think he likes the, you know, working that type of shit up, and I think he likes pushing those buttons and getting the controversy. I think he likes the storm of it. I think it probably gets him off, you know. It's like another fucking paid. Yeah, it gets him paid, it gets people listening, you know.
It got him $100 million.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
And that's
I guess we'll see, but I agree, Shu. I think that whole thing about him being like, I'll have to try to be better about the timing, have someone else on after that.
Right.
And I think he should. And
say he said he agreed with Spotify's new policy and putting up disclaimers or warnings that this information may not be correct that you're about to hear on certain podcasts. He said he agrees with that. That's fine with him too.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not like someone who listens to Joe Rogan religiously, but I try to when I can. There's just not enough time. You know, in my life to listen to a 3-hour podcast. I don't know who has the time for that, especially about one subject. Anyway.
Yeah, MMA.
He is, but Rogan is one of the few people who makes us look like a short podcast.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And that's what I think a lot of people like in the Breaking the Ice podcast. I wondered, you know, and it was a legit question for me. Well, why do people believe in Joe Rogan? Why do they go to Joe Rogan to seek the truth? And it was Isaiah on the podcast who actually made the point that every night you're dealt out these 90-second segments of news, or at night it's one person, a talking head, just telling you what to think. Whereas Joe Rogan, it's just a conversation delivered in a fairly calm environment.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the difference there is it's not so hyper, and there's nothing flashing in your face. There's nothing scrolling that's constantly saying breaking news, you know. And I think that, and he seems to do it in a genuine way. I mean, if you listen to the podcast, he's like, again, he's not, people think he's like this Alex Jones guy, and right. I don't think that at all. If you've listened
to I don't think he is, but his most requested guest is Alex Jones.
Right.
Right.
Which kind of tells you it tells you more about his audience than it does about him. But if
Alex Jones wanted to come on this podcast, what would you guys say?
I would have him on in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so sure. But we're not, but yeah, we didn't, of course, but we're not, not yeah. fucking celebrities. You know, we don't have a platform
saying,
that reaches millions and millions.
Of course he wants Alex Jones on, just like he wants Fauci on.
I'm not saying anything. There's anything bad about it. I'm just saying, you know, yes, you're right. He's not that type. Maybe he might. I don't know. I don't know the guy. Who knows? I don't know anything about him. But
I want to clarify.
And also, I think Alex Jones isn't really like that either. That's a persona. You know what I mean? He could be. I don't know. Again, I don't know him. But I think probably it's for the fact that it gets him money and gets him on things like the Joe Rogan podcast. So he amps that type of shit up, you know?
I just want to clarify. I don't know Alex Jones at all. And he seems like a kind of a crazy guy. I don't know anything about him. I've never listened to him. I've never listened to his show ever. But I would absolutely have him on because I just feel like it's not really, A, selfishly, it would get a bunch of fucking numbers over the podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's having him on here. Yeah, but it'd be like having Neil on.
Yeah, but I think it's become popular to be like, nah, like these are people you don't talk to and these people you do talk to. But it's, I feel like if someone is wrong, then like let them say their wrong thing and that will be, do you know, and maybe I'm wrong on, am I wrong on this? I don't know.
No. I think that's what Rogan does. He has a conversation with him and he asks questions and he questions them like he would question anybody else. Right. And people are probably just upset that he's giving time on a very, very popular platform to someone that they disagree with. Right.
But maybe I am off on this, though, because then you could have some very convincing liars or people who are just – they're very convincing, but they're spreading – I don't know. Also, this podcast is a bad example because we are wrong in every episode on everything.
Yeah, we get a lot of stuff wrong. And he said that, too, on his video. He was like – I can be wrong, and he tries to correct that. And according to some, we get some facts wrong.
We get a lot of facts wrong. Every episode, someone either tweets or comments like, "I love the episode, but this was not the album that song was on," or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, but we're not like stating it as fact. We're like, I think it's on this one, you know. Right. But whatever. And I'm sure Joe's the same. I don't know. I've listened to Joe. I said this on Breaking the Ice, but for me, he always, and like you said, Shu, that's what he likes. So he always turns it to fighting or whatever, talking about fighting. And I just don't want to listen to like 2 hours of him talking about MMA shit, you know? So to what you were saying about the conversations thing and how long it is and why, because that was what you were asking on Breaking the Ice. Why is it the most popular podcast or whatever? And so for me, Luke and I listen to a lot of podcasts. And do you listen to a lot of podcasts, Shu?
I try to, but I really don't have a lot of time to.
Sure, yeah.
Like I try to listen to Rogan, you know, and there's a few others I really make a concerted effort to spend time with. But it's tough because I'm just running around all day and I got other stuff I got to do.
Yeah. You
know, if I had that long drive to and from work like I used to, I would be listening. To podcasts then.
And that is kind of, I think, podcasts have become one of the main sort of forms of entertainment now. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons why is for those, like you said, driving to work. For me, that's what it is. When I'm driving to work in the morning, Luke like is in the in his truck all day. Like it just passes the time. When I'm painting and I have headphones on, and I have a long a podcast, it's great because I can just zone out, listen to the podcast. So that's what I think a lot of people are doing that. You're at the gym, whatever it might be. And so there's that. But I also think the other thing is there's different types of podcasts. There's there are the conversation ones, and that's why I think like Marc Maron was so early to the game, and that's why it was so popular because he was like one of the first ones, right?
Right.
And
plus he's really – he does what like Rogan does. Like he has people on, he thinks they're interesting, and he has tries to have a really honest conversation with them.
Yes.
And he's pretty open about it.
And the thing that helps is they're already in the celebrity world.
Right. So
they're already connected. So even though they're early to that game, so that helps them getting their foot in the door that early.
And don't forget, they're not under the influence of major corporations.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
So it's like Maron, like, what's that? Squarespace isn't going to say, "Hey, Maron, you got to ease off on the COVID talk." You know,
no, but yeah, like, and if they'll pull their ads. Like Bill Burr has had ads pulled from his millions of times because of the way he makes fun of them or whatever. Too. Yeah, they all have. Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's a different type of marketing thing. You know, if that company doesn't like what you're saying on your podcast, they can just pull it. It's not like I don't know how it works because we don't have any, but like, except for Tiesta T.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you this. We can't mention them until further notice.
Okay. So there you go. Because
it sounded like somebody tried to screw somebody, and that's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Let's leave it at
that. All right. So no longer. So hold off on ordering your Tiesta T until further notice.
Perfect.
All right. Well, so the other thing, and I don't know if that's like a contractual thing where you know, you, but I don't know, probably not. I feel like it's you know, like I'm saying, they, like you said, Squarespace probably doesn't sign a year or a couple years with a certain podcast. It's probably like a thing where they can pull out whenever they want, you know?
Well, yeah, every deal's different when it comes to advertising. Every deal is different, you know, so sometimes they'll sign a 6 month. It depends. The time, you know, could be a week, could be 2 years, whatever they feel like they are comfortable with.
But there's probably some sort of clause that's like, if the podcast, they have,
there's tons and tons of that.
But like you said, that's not
contract.
Yes. Right. But like you said, that's not like the news where they, you know, they're, it's so like have, basically like lobbying, you know, it's
right. That,
that's
exactly.
like a, they own
so the new, if you think about mainstream news organizations like CNN and Fox. All right. So, you know, they're owned by bigger companies, which are owned by bigger companies. They have advertisers and stockholders they're beholden to, not to mention they are fighting for ratings. So they are trying to exert some kind of influence on sources. Also, they're trying to beat like the Tom Brady thing, in all seriousness. If you look at last weekend, and it's like Tom Brady's reports say Tom Brady's retiring. Right. And then Tom Brady came out and said, I haven't made a decision yet. So, you know, you're all wrong.
Yeah.
That is a symptom of everything I just mentioned. People trying to beat someone else to the punch to get ratings or clicks or likes. And that way they could probably make more money because they're seen as someone who has more people, you know, watching, listening, reading them, whatever it may be, you know, and I, you know, that's probably, I mean, it's, I believe Rogan, when he accepted that $100 million from Spotify, one of the things was, you can't tell me what to do with my podcast.
Yeah, that was.
And they said, sure. I mean, if it's not broke, don't, you know, you don't have to fix it.
Yeah. But they have removed certain episodes of his from, I believe, before
I
believe when they did the mass upload to make it exclusive to Spotify, they said, but we're not going to do this one. This, like, I don't think any Alex Jones episodes are available on Spotify, like, or anywhere. I don't know.
That's interesting.
I don't know if that's a fact. And here I am spreading misinformation.
I know, there you are.
But
everybody, I'm not going to be on this podcast until Luke says Jars of Clay sucks.
No, I won't.
Well, no.
Also,
then I'm out of here. Forget that it. That I'm was, going.
By
hey,
the way,
Daryl, he's not saying it.
Okay.
Also, I think that whole riff was in the other one.
No, that was before we started recording, Mike. That whole.
Oh, sorry. Anyway,
that's all right.
I'll still hold you to that.
Jars of Clay rules. I'll say that.
No, they pretty much suck.
Well, I just want to. I want to kind of speak my opinion real quick. Obviously, if I had to pick Neil or Joe Rogan, I listen to way more Neil, like 1,000% more Neil than Rogan. I'll dip into episodes of Rogan once every year and a half when I see he has someone interesting on. The only thing I can say about Rogan is I listened to him back in the day because I was a big Opie and Anthony guy from forever ago. And he was kind of one of their comics that they had on a lot. And when he started his podcast, Rogan would also have on a lot of these obscure comics that I liked. And so I have a little bit of love for him in that direction. But I'm not current on my Rogan. I'm very current on my Neil. So I love Neil. I think, and we touched on this on Breaking the Ice, and I think the three of us all kind of land here. Whatever side you're on, which I think it's very silly to have to pick a side. And I think honestly, even Joe Rogan and probably Neil also would say it's silly to pick a side. I think Neil has wanted out of Spotify since the beginning. And I think Spotify is the true enemy here. Spotify, they don't pay their artists. They pay their artists, not that they don't pay them. They pay them the least out of all of the services. Their music quality, their sound quality, the audio quality is the worst of all of them. And I just think that they're very, I don't know. I almost wish Neil, and I think he did leave because of that, but I wish he had put more of that. And then did you see the letter he wrote after all this? He mentioned Joe Rogan for like a second. And I think vaccines are very important to Neil. He's a polio survivor, but I think bigger to him is sound quality. That's been Neil's thing forever. So I think that he's wanted out of Spotify. This was a chance. I do think the vaccination was a part of it for him, but I think he wanted out for bigger reasons. And I think he took it. And honestly, I'm leaving Spotify too. There are so many, like Tidal pays over a cent per stream. Napster pays almost 2 cents per stream. And yes, back in the day, Spotify was the most user-friendly. Now they've all caught up. They're all the same. The only thing that Spotify has is their algorithm is probably the best of all of them because they've had so many years ahead. But I don't know. Go ahead.
I kind of agree with you in the sense, and I don't know if any of this is true, but we all know Neil hated the sound quality, and that's a really big thing with him. And he sang about it on Psychedelic Pill.
Yeah.
On Drifting Back, that you only get 5% of what the artist recorded as far as sound goes, because it's all digitized into ones and zeros.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, there was that time where you couldn't find most of his albums on Spotify.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that. They were all there, then they were gone, and then they all came back. And I don't know the exact
and
time.
It was like the ones that were on were so weird.
It was like Lucky 13 was on there.
Old Ways. I remember Old Ways was on there.
And then Old Ways wasn't on there.
And then everything else came back and Old Ways wasn't. Yeah.
So I think, Luke, to your point, I think that was the main issue with him. And I hate to doubt Neil's concern for humanity, because he's proven that he has great concern. I mean, his climate issues, climate change issues and everything. But I think he used COVID as leverage for his record company and the people who bought his you know, half his publishing, right? He sold 50% of his publishing to Hypnosis, who owns, I think they also own Fleetwood Mac and a bunch of other huge people.
Okay.
They're publishing too. This is a company that's buying up all the music publishing and turned it into a business. Mm-hmm. And I think that he convinced them and he convinced Warner Brothers that, look, if you don't allow my music to be removed from Spotify, I'll just say that my record company and the people that own 50% of my music support the misinformation of COVID.
Right.
And I don't want to believe that, but I just feel like that was a big part of it.
I think 100% that Neil getting his music off Spotify was not 100% the reason being because of Joe Rogan being on there. I think that also he just didn't – like both of you said, for different reasons, Neil has never liked being on Spotify.
Right.
He doesn't have full control of his music. Yes,
so
exactly.
He had to convince other people. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that he used COVID to do that. Now people are going to damn me
for
saying that.
No.
Neil, you know,
but at the same time, it's not like he's still not genuine.
No, and he's doing what Neil does. He's bringing attention to an issue he feels strongly with,
and he still benefits from it, even if he's singing a whole album about how he hates Monsanto. People are still buying his album, and he's getting money from that. So it's
right.
It's what he's always done, and that's not that. That's what you should do as an artist,
right,
and it's the same thing that Joe Rogan's doing. You know, it's it's what everybody is doing. Yeah. It's just like the ones who suffer the most from it aren't the millionaires. Who, you know what I mean? Like it's the people like us and
because
we have to pay monthly for fucking Spotify. And as artists, like Luke and I are in the band Town Meeting, and you kind of can't exist as a band at like a level that if you're not already like a millionaire, you can't exist at a level artistically as a musician and not be on Spotify and not try to get onto those playlists and like have your, although nowadays it's
at your level, Russ.
Yes.
I mean, if
you're
Neil Young,
you don't need to be. If you're Joni Mitchell, if you're Neil's Lop,
and he's got three other sources. He's got archives. He's got that new Kobu platform, and then he's got Amazon, and they all do high res, which is, it's not like he's going to disappear from streaming.
No.
But at your level, Russ, at Town Meeting's level, you guys are taking a hard hit. You know, even though he says I'm losing 60% of my streaming, you know, from just jumping off Spotify alone. You know, what happens if you guys lost 60% of your streaming?
We're done. That's it. We're dead in the water.
But, well, as far honestly, as streaming goes,
but
right?
Honestly, yeah, but that's like you need that. You need that.
But honestly, we,
it's not about money, Luke. It's about the people hearing it.
Of course, right.
Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying, I think this is where I'm happy that that all this is happening. Not 100% for the reasons it is, although I am on Neil's side on all these issues. But I will say, so Spotify has been very beneficial to us in other ways besides money. It's gotten our music. We have a song that has close to 2 million streams, which would never have happened without Spotify.
Now, how much do you make from 2 million streams? Is that
– you can just estimate. I mean, just give people an idea. I mean, that's
– I think 900 is overshooting.
Okay, so I'm way – no, it's not
overshooting. I don't think
– I was way undershooting. It's about $6,000.
What?
Yeah, but over $6,000 for 2 million – streams is not a lot.
2 million. So if you were selling your song for 99 cents on iTunes,
that's $20,000 compared to six. So but now, like I said, Tidal and Napster mm-hmm. is almost 2 cents a stream now. So these companies that, back in the day, they weren't as user-friendly. Now they are much more user-friendly. So like I'm switching over to Tidal. It's the same price as Spotify. And it's just the same. I'm going to get paid more. And I think this calls attention now to these other platforms. And I'm a slightly annoyed at Neil for being like, oh, go over to Apple. But even Apple pays, I think, two or three times what Spotify pays.
Do you know what Amazon pays? Because that's what I've been listening to a lot of Amazon Music, because I get it free with Prime. They do not have anywhere near the selection that Spotify has.
Oh, is it a selection thing too?
It's not as huge as Spotify. They don't have the depth of...
They don't seem to pay, according to this chart, much more than Spotify. Okay.
Well, they don't have... Like, I mean, they sound... Amazon Music sounds great, but it does not have the depth of selection of artists that Spotify has.
Well, when I tell Alexa to play anything... Obviously, it plays Amazon. It always sounds great. And like whenever I say play Neil Young, that's where it comes from.
Quick side note. Whenever I just say, hey, Alexa, play Neil Young, mm-hmm. it's 90% of the time, it starts with a song from Everybody's Rockin'. Does that happen to you?
I'm serious. That's completely. You told me this before. That's really strange.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I feel like
talking. They may have been listening during the podcast. And you know how they do that, and then they figure, oh, they're listening in, and that's what they. Maybe they were listening during. I had them close.
Well, they obviously didn't hear what you were saying about it. Then.
Well, they don't. Yeah, they don't. I do like a little bit.
No, I do too. Yeah,
but still, it's just kind of funny when I do that. It's usually something from Everybody's Rocking.
Yeah,
but.
Go ahead.
So what do you, let's talk about Neil's side on this. All right. So Neil, you know, put up stuff on the archives, and he had an article giving examples of things that he's heard supposedly from information that he's gotten from Spotify or from other sources that are against the mainstream narrative of COVID and vaccines, of long COVID and children, you know, and he gives a bunch of examples there. He also has the examples that, you know, we were talking about of the sound quality and stuff like that. But I'm also thinking, you know, it seems like I am like looking for controversy or conspiracy in Neil's move here.
Sure.
Because he has a partnership with Amazon. He has his own streaming platform. He has endorsed Kobo, right? He's got a new album out.
Right.
And all of a sudden he decides to do all this stuff. And it's brought a lot of, not only brought a lot of attention to him and a new audience probably, because you have to think the audience that uses Spotify the most and that listens to podcasts the most is probably a lot younger than, say, a Neil Young fan who like came up in the 70s listening to him, right? It may skew a little younger.
Yeah.
He's getting great exposure to these people who may not have sought out his music before.
Yeah.
To me, that was also a little suspect.
Sure.
What do you guys think about that?
No, I think it's like we were saying. I think it's a bunch of different reasons to get out of it. And, yeah, I think he probably is using, you know, the whole – because didn't – weren't you – and I had seen this. I had actually seen this because I had heard it in a podcast before the Neil Young news about the whole – list of doctors that were trying to get Joe Rogan removed from Spotify.
Yeah, there was one episode that prompted that. I don't know if it was the McCullough episode or the other guy, but they had told him to please remove that episode because everything this guy was saying was incorrect.
And yeah, and so worried. But that sparked like a whole before the Neil thing. Right.
Yeah,
that sparked December. Like a bunch of medical people, professionals signing some what do you call it to try to get at least some episodes removed, if not like
right.
Yeah, and
Spotify didn't do it.
Yeah, and Spotify did again. They need to protect their $100 million investment. Right. They're not,
and a lot of people from what I'm reading on, especially on social media, Spotify is a private company.
Right.
And they can do anything they want within the law.
Absolutely.
And if they want to remove those episodes of Joe Rogan's podcast, they can do that. And that is not censorship.
Right.
You know, absolutely. just like a restaurant can fire a cook, you know, who is spitting in the food. You know, they have, if they feel that it's going to hurt the company. I'm just citing the Joe Rogan example, but I'm sure they've removed podcasts in the past for various other reasons that they disagreed with. But this is not like people were calling Neil Young saying he's trying to cancel Rogan. He's trying to censor Rogan. It's like,
no,
first of all, he wasn't trying to do that. But at the same time, Spotify can do that. And to the Neil Young fans who were like, oh, they chose and they got rid of Neil. No, Neil stepped away. And he says that on the archives in a couple of articles, like it was his decision to leave.
Yeah. He didn't want to be there. That's what
he gave him a choice. He said, listen, I can't be here if he's going to be here. And they said, well, we're going to go with Joe. And he said, okay, well, I'm going to leave. It wasn't like you're out of here.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Spotify is a private company, just like Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. And Facebook, all of that. I agree. All of that. And everyone gets all up in arms and freedom of speech. It's like, no, these are privately owned. They can do whatever the fuck they want. Just like you can, you know what I mean? It's the same thing. Unfortunately,
to a point, a safety hazard or whatever. But you know, if the US government came in and said, you have to remove these Joe Rogan episodes, that's censorship.
Yes.
Right. Because that's infringing on the First Amendment.
But that's not what's happening, obviously. And, you know, it's.
Another thing is people feel they have a right to Spotify or that they have a right to social media. Like they have a right to freedom of speech or the right to bear arms or freedom of religion. No, they don't. All right. Nobody needs social media or Spotify. These are not human rights.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if all these things disappeared tomorrow, you know, would the human race continue? Would it be in danger? You might have a bunch of people freaking out because they can't post pictures of their food.
Right.
I would probably be in that group. You know?
Yeah. You more than any of us.
I know. Right. Because that's, I have a sickness. I got to do that.
By the way,
it's
Mike,
like you can't.
That pork look goddamn good today.
I'm telling you, man, my Cuban pork. I hate to brag, but my Cuban pork kicks ass.
That looks really good, man.
It's perfect. Six hours in a slow cooker.
I would be upset if I wasn't able to see Shoes food posts. I'll tell you that.
I'm telling
much.
You, man, that was. I'm still gnawing on that. There's still some of that left. Anyway, you know, people can't have to get off the idea that they have a right to social media.
Yeah,
it's not a human right. People have a right to, you know, I believe people have a right to food and medical care and clothing, you know, and all the basics to live your life.
Yeah, well, our country doesn't really.
I know, right. Yeah, our country's making it hard for a lot of people.
We don't do that.
Because there's money involved.
Yeah.
So anybody who's saying like Neil Young, and I love the people who say Neil Young is a communist because he wants to control what Joe Rogan says. Okay, first of all, Neil Young owns a model train company. Okay? Neil Young is trying to find he's an entrepreneur. He's tried and failed to start other businesses. he's made a ton of money in the capitalist system. You know, he is far from a communist. You know, the guy lives on a ranch. He doesn't live on an agrarian commune.
Right.
You know, he has a ranch that nobody can walk on. I'm sure he's got security out there and stuff. And the same thing with Joe Rogan, right? Is Joe Rogan a right-wing radical?
No.
I wouldn't say that at all.
I don't think so at all.
There's people on there that say that. And these are people that are just not familiar, you know, to us.
Well, I think
Neil was doing here, we figured it out because we study Neil. You know, we're not like,
we're not
sycophants. We don't worship Neil, but we study him. Well, no, we worship his great moments that we think are great. No, but we shit on him when we think we should shit on him.
Yeah.
And that we agreed from episode one that we weren't going to be kiss asses.
Right. And just on the Joe Rogan right wing thing, and not to get conspiratorial, but I do think it's very interesting that Rogan, of anyone he could have endorsed Bernie Sanders. And then it was almost at that exact moment that people started pushing him and branding him towards the right. And I'm like, oh, he's right wing. He's this.
Right.
Yeah. It just feels very.
I mean, don't get me started. But to go back to what Shu said about how, you know, humans should have right to clothes and food and, you know, the medical. That's all Bernie, baby. But, you know, it's true. And the other thing, too, is on either side. And again, it's annoying that we have to have use that word. But in regards to either Joe or Neil or left, right, whatever. It goes both ways because, like you were saying, Shu, about like some people labeling Joe as this right wing, and Luke, you bringing up that whole Bernie thing. There's also people feel this strange connection with personalities who they will never meet and don't know, and they think that they know them. Like a lot of the right claims Joe as their own. A lot of radical right does claim Joe as their own and says that he is one of them. And then other people, you know, it's like, and Democrats or whoever will claim Neil as their own, and yet he's done things. No one ever is any one thing, as Neil has shown us, you know,
right,
many times. And in a way, Joe has with all the people that he's had on. So
but people want validation.
Exactly. Right. People want to. Yes, and instead of focusing on themselves and trying to better themselves, it's easier for them to sort of project these types of things onto celebrity personalities and to get deep into the weeds of all these
– sorry.
It's fine. All these like weird things that may or may not be true. There's no way really any of us can know because we're in a time now – and we touched on this with Breaking the Ice pod episode – is that we're in such a time now where there's so much information, misinformation, you know, social media platforms, there's so much coming at us all at once that no one really knows what the fuck is actually going on.
Yeah, right. And it's easier to let others decide for us.
For you, yes.
Because of that, Russ, because it's so exhausting to sift through it all, to check sources, to do that. It is, when you can just sit down and read the newspaper or, you know, when it was like that. But now you're right. And it's exhausting. And I think that's why people are doing what you say. They feel they have a connection. They latch onto it and they say, I want to believe in this person. People want to believe in something, whether it's God, Joe Rogan or whatever, and you know,
even us. I think, I mean, honestly, the idea of Neil coming on this podcast kind of scares the shit out of me a little bit.
It scares me to death
because he's not the easiest person to like. From what we've seen throughout the years of interview, you know,
I think you know how people will make bets like pools about a thing. I think the Patreon pool should be which one of us says the thing that makes Neil hang up on us, because that's
it would be you. Like,
yeah,
I'd
absolutely
be kissing his ass. I'd be
that's
kissing
that's absolutely
his ass.
Me.
I have my nose right up his ass.
I'd be way.
You know
there.
What? It would have to do with Korchmar. It'd be a Korch.
Why
it'd be a
would
cooch
you
question.
Even go down that
just
road?
Just don't
now.
Ask. Don't
Please
go the cooch.
Don't do
why
that.
Do you have to cooch it?
It would.
Don't cooch it.
You know. Don't cooch it. I'd never roker an interview with Neil.
Hashtag don't cooch it.
Don't cooch it.
Don't Roker the cooch.
Don't Roker the cooch. Yeah.
I wouldn't Roker it, and then I wouldn't cooch it. And by cooch it, I mean make it sound like landing on water.
Oh, come on. It's a good album. It's
all right, let me ask you guys a question here, because there was that – I mentioned that back and forth.
Hold on. Before you do that, so you know how the Neil Sirius radio station was on again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was at my parents' house helping them with the snowstorm over the weekend, and all day we were listening to that station, me and my dad. And Hippie Dream came on, and I was like, honestly, this song kind of fucking rocks, dude.
No, it doesn't. That's my least favorite song on that album.
Yeah, but there's a great solo in there, man. The guitar playing in that song
sounds awful.
Mike, before
it sounds all, it sounds very 80s. It's very, the production is, I'm sorry, Cucho, it's bad. The production is bad.
Yeah, they try to make it sound like a Don Henley record.
Yeah, but at the same time, there are parts of that song that I dug. In listening to it now with a lot of space.
Well, and real quick, Luke, you listen, I don't know if you guys have listened to the Broken Record podcast and when Neil was on with Rick Rubin.
I did, yes.
But they had a session that Neil's trying to put out there, polish up and put out there. He had to stop recording with him because apparently he slashed open his thumb doing something. But there's a bunch of songs from Landing on Water that he did with Crazy Horse that he recorded with Rick Rubin.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that because I might feel differently.
Same. Anyway, continue. You're going to say something.
Just before Mike asks us the question, because you brought up Hippie Dream, I do want to mention we have a Patreon, patreon.com/longmayyouyoung. We have bonus episodes, early releases. Me and Russ do a cover every month, blah, blah, blah. But I put out this topic.
You should also mention John Locke, Craig Bitch, and Mark Ray, right?
Yes. Those are our top tier patrons. They get mentioned every episode. But I put out this topic. it's still Craig Bitch, by the way.
I'll read
his comment. So I just basically put out a thing that says, what are your thoughts on the whole Rogan Young Spotify situation? Craig Bitch wrote, Joe Rogan is a bitch. I would know. I see him at family reunions.
I saw that.
Yet another example as to why Neil Young is a true OG. Chris Boudreau summed it up nicely. He just wrote, fucking Neil, man. Which he said since day one. But Matt Devlin, a longtime patron, because you brought up the Hippie Dream, he wrote, I love that Neil still has fire in the belly and stands up for what he believes in. Maybe the Hippie Dream isn't completely dead. Most of all, I love that Neil still has the ability to get people talking. He still has the ability to generate headlines. Impressive for someone his age, but it's Neil fucking Young, so not surprising to us youngsters.
Yes, and that was one of the things I was going to say was not a lot of people in their 80, in their 70, he's almost 80, right? What is he, 70 something?
74.
Right? 76?
76 or 5 or something,
How do we not know this?
I know, we're bad. We're just bad at what we do.
We're not good at this.
Yeah, we're not good at this. But anyway, it's a great point, and that was something I was going to say. How is a guy who, you know, that's the thing, is Neil's always sort of stayed somewhat in. But I mean, even people Alana's age, like Alana knows about, even without me telling her, heard about this whole thing. And she's 24.
And that's what I was saying in the beginning. This only worked to Neil's advantage. He spun this into gold. And people like Alana, who doesn't listen to Neil, but listens to podcasts, you know, knows who Joe Rogan is.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, it's opened him up to a whole maybe younger crowd, maybe you know, 10% of those people will stay with him,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
the other side of that is laughable to me, and I think I saw something online that said that it's insane for right wingers in particular to act, whatever side you're on, to act like Neil's music isn't good. Do you know what I mean? Like, you really are poisoned by politics.
Well, yeah, I saw a lot of people saying, like, go back to your country and shit like that. And it's
right.
Like,
but right.
Even to deny, like, so we, I talk,
although I actually, he's an American citizen now.
Yeah.
But which is hilarious.
I talked to our other brother who is, you know, he recently left the band. He's very much on the other side of this issue. And I was just like kind of picking his brain because he's not even on social media now, which is probably, he's smarter than the rest of us for that. But he's obviously still without social media, has heard what's going on. And I said, what do you think of all this? He goes, what do you want me to say bad things about Neil? He's like, he's a fucking god. He's, I'm not going to stop liking his music because I disagree with
right.
him. He's a, he, you know, how can you not like Down by the River? How can you not like Tonight's the Night?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's music.
Yeah.
You know, one man's treasure is another man's trash.
But people are doing that. Like, you fucking like.
One man's toxic sludge is another man's potpourri.
You know, Kid Rock is way better than Neil Young. He's way more talented than
Neil
Young. I've seen that. And it's like, okay, you know, maybe that dude really loves Kid Rock. Okay.
Who is that?
Whatever, man. I mean, that's what you hear.
That better not be Dan Moshpit.
No, I don't think that was Dan Moshpit.
Shoot, you were going to ask us a question?
Yeah, so, you know, I retweeted an article from the New York Post about him offering the free Amazon Music subscription for 4 months if you go over to Amazon Music.
Yeah.
And then he provides links on, just to let people know, he provides links on Neil Young Archives in the Times Contrarian section. You can click on those links, sign up for Amazon Music. You'll get 4 free months. All right. So he's offering that right now. And I retweeted an article for that. And this Twitter Nougat Bole, I think that's how you say it. Anyway, he kind of responded. He's responded saying, hope you guys follow his example. Now, I don't know if he was referring to us offering free subscriptions to our Patreon or to try to do that with Spotify or to try to do what Neil is doing and just leaving Spotify and going to these other platforms. So let me stay with the latter on that. So we love Neil. We admire Neil. Do you believe in Neil enough? Do you think we should take this podcast off of Spotify?
I don't even know if we could if we wanted to. Do you know what I mean? I think I don't.
Why? Does Pantheon make us go on Spotify?
Okay, so
I think I think maybe our platform has all of the things. And if you, I have no idea how it works.
Actually,
I have no idea how it works.
That's me avoiding the question. So let's just hype. Let's say we can. I don't know if, and this might maybe self-deprecating. I don't know if we're important enough that it will ever make an impact.
Right. But let's. Well, that's not how you get things done, Luke.
That's true. No, that's true.
You know what? You do what you believe in.
Okay.
Right?
So maybe
regardless.
Maybe
you know,
I do
you think, make your own impact.
Maybe and we look into
so
it.
So do you
then.
Think we do that?
Maybe we look into it because I don't necessarily agree with his I agree with Neil on all his vaccination stance. I'm vaccinated. I'm very pro vaccine. I don't even think Neil knows what Rogan said. I think he heard sound bites maybe. Either way, I'm not a Spotify fan. I'm leaving Spotify personally.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I think for me, maybe we do leave Spotify. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I kind of think what Russ was alluding to earlier, and that's, I don't know. I think we need it more. I think we if we want people to hear this podcast, like Neil Young can do that.
Yeah.
But we need it more. And do I don't know if I really believe that Spotify is putting out misinformation on purpose.
I don't know if they are. I just hate Spotify.
Right. You hate them for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
Because it affects you guys personally because of your music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so. I think I'm yeah. It's, it actually kind of it plays into the whole vaccine, this whole thing, the whole world, the way things are now, the way I feel about it. So we have people in our life who are, they claim they're not anti-vax, but they're against getting this particular vaccine, right? I, again, like Luke said, I'm vaccinated, the whole thing, whatever. And I lean towards, yeah, I think everyone should, if you're able, whatever, should do it. But
I don't want to be in this world. I'm not like excited that we're in this world, and I'm not excited. I'm not like pumped up that I had to make a choice like that. And that, because I want to play music.
You're not a are you saying like you're not a flag waver?
No, not at all.
You did it because you thought
because
it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And then that's a whole other conversation, but
and you're not going to campaign at, you're not going to like stand outside somebody's house or go to a school committee.
And I don't think, and I don't think if you're on either side of however you're whatever you feel about the situation, I think that that should be your thing. And, it's just really fucking tricky because it's like a public health crisis.
Right.
No, it's
at
not.
At the same time, you got someone like we talked about on the Breaking the Ice podcast, like Josh.
Right.
Yeah.
His doctor said, don't get it because Josh had a collapsed lung.
Right.
And like the reaction to the vaccine could make him really sick.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got a myriad of reasons why you should, but also people shouldn't also for in individual situations, because that's just how medicine
absolutely
works. You know,
and on top of that is no, and I think Russ, you might even be leading to this is yes, I'm pro vaccine, but I find it's difficult to wrestle with because I don't want to wave a flag for pharmaceutical companies. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't either. Right. I hate pharmacy. This
historically
actually goes
been terrible for our
are horrible. Yeah. System. Yeah. And that brings me back to Bernie and the medical system in this country here in the United States is atrocious. And I've had friends die of cancer and the pharmaceutical
company COVID.
Yes. And the pharmaceutical companies, their parents and their families are still living with monstrous debt because of those pharmaceutical companies and the way that our medical system is in this country, which is horrible. And that brings me back to the Bernie thing. And actually to the thing that I wanted to say to answer your question, Shu, is that I don't want to have to pay taxes, but I have to play the game. If you're rich enough, you don't even have to fucking pay taxes.
Right.
So if you're rich enough, you don't have to worry about your music being on Spotify. If you're, we kind of have to worry about it because we're not at that level.
Right.
And that's why I think it's really confusing because both, like you said, Luke, both Joe Rogan and Neil Young supported Bernie Sanders.
Right.
And both of them have had Bernie on their huge platforms. Like, Neil was on Bernie's
campaign.
On his campaign thing. Like, that's when I saw, like, I watched a virtual Bernie meeting and Neil was the artist. And it's just so weird that all of these things are all now coalescing and yet no one has a straight answer for fucking anything.
Right. Well, you know, it's because it's, this is a new thing, even to professionals, to scientists, to doctors. It's still,
right.
You know, they're still discovering new things and new variations, and every person reacts to it differently. So,
that's the
constant. And again, it goes back to what you were saying about the information, Russ, and like, it just gets exhausting. Well, it gets exhausting keeping track of what works and what doesn't work with COVID.
And the other thing too, is that we only, a lot of the time, again, there's so much money in just that Spotify deal with Joe alone that pumps things up to now when you go to Joe was already the top podcast, but the fact that all that shit happened makes him now, it's like if you're that's kind of for people just getting into the podcast game, they go and they look up top podcast, that's what they're going to see, and then they see all these famous guests and all this da-da-da controversy and da-da-da. That's exciting, right? So the thing is, as much as Joe might say, I'm just having conversations, and yeah, he is, but at the same time, yeah, you have this immense reach, and I'm only saying that, and I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong in particular. I'm just saying that there's other podcasts you can listen to who talk about these things.
Right. Right.
It's just that we're not, you're not going to know about them because Joe owns the market. You know what I mean? So
right.
That's where things get tricky. I would recommend if you want to actually listen. So this is an interesting crossroads thing here is I brought it up on Breaking the Ice, but I actually have the name of the episode and the podcast. If you're really interested in what's going on with COVID right now from some minds who aren't bought by any special interests, and it's just like two dorks talking about the science of shit. What's interesting is there's a comedian named Shane Moss who has a podcast. It's called Here We Are. He's a comedian, but he only like interviews scientists, and he doesn't interview scientists that are like on CNN or whatever. So you don't have to worry about them being whatever. And he has an episode 367. It's called Omicron ? With Jessica Brinkworth, who is like a whatever virology, blah, 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 blah. And they get into the nitty gritty of all, like they use big words. So it's not for everyone, but if you're truly interested in like learning about the science of it, and you're worried about like, you know, corporate special interests, there's other places you can go to get that information. Like you were saying, Shu.
Yeah. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And what's interesting is Shane used to be on Joe's podcast a lot, and he has some sort of insider knowledge on the way that Joe runs his podcast. So I would recommend people go and listen to even just the first part of that if you want, because that was a helpful thing for me in regards to this whole thing. But it gets really sciencey, even for me. I kind of tuned out like an hour and a half in. So.
And speaking of how Joe runs his podcast, he said on numerous occasions he bases his podcast off the old Opie and Anthony show. And Opie and Anthony used to be on WAF, which is where Mike used to be on too. So we're technically related deeply to this whole thing.
Very tenuous thread.
Rest in peace, Mayor Menino.
All right, you guys, have we covered all the points here?
Probably not.
There's a lot to it, but I just feel that, you know, as one of only two Neil Young podcasts, we should have addressed this. And I think that it's not about taking sides.
No,
Neil or Joe, but it is about something that Neil brought
up. That is what it's become, sort of. Yeah.
That's what he's great at. We've learned is that bringing up issues, you know, through his art.
Yeah.
That he cares very much about. So,
and do you find it? No, I don't know if ironic is the word, but pretty interesting that where the next album we'll be doing is the Monsanto years.
Yes.
All this is going on.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
He knew.
Yeah.
He knew because he's a time-traveling vampire. I'll dump Spotify right when they're getting into the Monsanto years.
Yeah.
If this is
your first episode and you want to know what the fuck that means, good luck. Go back and listen to every episode of this stupid podcast.
But like when you said, Mike, have we covered it all? No, but we're doing Monsanto years next. It's going to come up. We have a few interviews maybe lined up with people with different opinions on it. And if you get – you know, similar to like anything, if you're getting your information about Neil from this podcast, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. You should consider other sources along with this one.
Yeah. The only thing is, this is the only, where your only option, right. You know, unless you speak French. And right. If you speak French, then definitely listen to Don't Be Denied instead.
Absolutely. Right. Right. Yeah. But it's just like Joe Rogan and Neil Young and what I've been saying through this whole thing. If you're getting your medical information from either of these guys,
yeah,
you should definitely use additional sources.
Yes,
of course. Yeah,
that's absolutely. All. You know, and it's like, I don't think Joe Rogan has done anything wrong, and I definitely don't think Neil Young is a communist.
No, and I don't think Neil did anything wrong either. I think,
no, Neil like did not said, do anything wrong. He's pretty, no. And everything they did was law abiding.
Yeah,
there was no censorship involved. You know, and it worked to both of their advantages, right?
100%.
I'm sure that they're texting back and forth right now going, well, that's pretty good. Did you see your numbers?
I'm calling it now.
You know, and Joe's like, yeah, your numbers are amazing. Jamie, bring up Neil's numbers. Isn't that crazy? Well,
you think Neil's going to be on Joe Rogan soon? Yeah,
I'm calling it now.
I bet he is.
I'm calling it now. Not soon. Yeah. June, July. And can you imagine the numbers that episode will make?
Ridiculous.
When does Archives Volume 3 come out?
I don't know. You have to go to
Joel's. It'll be around that time.
Joel's podcast to find that out.
Right.
And speaking of Joel, he'll be on next week's episode. He got bumped. No, he didn't get bumped. I'm just going to throw this on tomorrow. So just get this one right out. And so then the next week we'll finish up Storytone Part 2. So.
Okay. Yeah, I guess, you know, it doesn't fucking matter, you know, because we're not millionaires. I think Joe and Neil should combine their, you know, if they combined their millions of dollars, they'd probably have a billion, you know, somewhere in the billion-ish area. And then they can just give back to all of the Neil Young and the Joe Rogan fans, you know? Why not?
I think Spotify, if they want to keep us, which, you know, Spotify CEOs, I know you're listening to this, you need to pay us $100 million or else we're going to take it off the platform, I think.
If you want to keep us, you have to get rid of Don't Be Denied.
It's us or them.
He's spreading misinformation.
Even though we have him on our episode.
Even though we're getting more things, way more things wrong than Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening to Long May You Young. I hope any of this made sense to you. And don't forget, we're on social media at Long May You Young on Twitter and Instagram. We also have a very active Facebook page. You can find us on the Neil Young subreddit also. And thanks to the Pantheon Podcast Network also.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And thanks, guys, for this is a fun podcast. It's interesting that all this came up and made me realize how much I love talking to Neil Young with you guys and how close we are to the end of this.
Yeah, we're getting close to
it. Well, no, I mean, it's never going to end, dude. I heard him on the Sirius channel talk about some other thing that he's...
He was talking about sitting around. The Rick Rubin podcast, the Broken Record. He was talking about...
It wasn't even that one, too. It was some other one. He said that
he's got tons of stuff. It's going to keep coming up. We're going to be 80.
But I mean, as far as like timeline, we're in fucking 2016 here with his album.
I know, man. It's catching up.
When we're 80 and we're still doing this podcast, Neil will be like, what, 17, right? Somewhere around. Yeah. He'll be right. Some other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd prefer that we hurry up and finish this so we can get on to the DeGarmo and Key podcast. So
no, Mike, I was going to say this to you. Not that we have to pick a thing, because you had mentioned what did you mention? Oh, John Prine.
Yeah.
You know who I would love to cover is 70s Beach Boys, because I never appreciated.
Well, the Beach Boys just the Beach Boys alone is.
But 70s Beach Boys is underappreciated.
They are
70s Beach Boys opinion. Is great. Yeah.
My buddy Alex, who's a crazy Neil fan, sent me. He's like, "Have you ever heard Holland?" And I was like, "No."
Yeah. Right.
It's. I was blown away by how good that album is. And then he said, listen to anything from the 70s. He goes, I know that Mike Love gets a lot of shit. And, you know, he probably was maybe a little bit of a tyrant. He said, but he once fucking Brian Wilson left, they just did a whole other thing.
Well, keep in mind, Brian Wilson he was around for the studio recordings.
Was he?
He just didn't tour and he wasn't as involved, but he was still around for that stuff. But '70s Beat. And then, you know, they did a lot of work with like Chicago. Like they toured with Chicago and used their horn section. I'm not a big Chicago fan at all, but some of that stuff's pretty awesome. You listen to like Holland and Surf's Up.
Surf's Up, yeah. Oh, dude.
It's amazing stuff.
Dive. Russ, it's beautiful. A lot of it sounds like the band, man.
Well, I was going to say if I had my choice, we would be doing the band next.
The band would be good.
Yeah, because
the band
be
is
too.
Interconnected with everything, and to me, they're the best band that's ever existed.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's untrue because Rush is the greatest band that ever existed.
I think you mean Rush, well, but
the last two people I want to do a Rush podcast with is you guys. So,
I would be great on the Rush podcast.
I don't know.
Who are you going to do a Rush podcast with, Mike?
Oh my God, there's so many other Rush nerds I know. Come on, man.
And more qualified people. Just
I even know a girl that likes Rush, and having her on the podcast would be a winning formula, because that would be one of eight women on this planet that actually likes Rush.
Yeah, and you just nailed it by saying, I even know a girl who likes Rush.
Exactly, right? That'd make that Rush the number one Rush podcast.
You're already off to a great start.
There's a girl on it, right? Yeah. All right, you guys.
Let's get out.
All right, yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, and we'll... next one is Monsanto years.
Yeah, Storytone Part 2, then Monsanto.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, man. All right.
All right. See you guys.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.